Chapter 5. They made good time going north, having slowed only twice, once when they went through a small village, and again when they passed a group of hunters who would surely have noticed the speeding carriages. Millie was watching the trees in the forest flash past, when water splattered the carriage and they stopped with a lurch so sudden that she slid off the seat and landed on the floor at her parents' feet. A loud moan shook the carriage, and another deluge struck with a terrific splat. "What happened?" Millie asked as she untangled herself from their legs. Her father reached for the door, saying, "I'm going to go see." There was a series of loud booms, and the forest floor shook. If Edric hadn't been holding onto the door, he would have fallen out head first. "I'm going too," said her mother, pausing to give Millie a stern look. "You stay here until we get back." "But I want to—" Millie began. "Not this time, Millie," her mother said as she peered out the window. "I don't need to worry about you and whatever is going on out there, too." While her mother shut the carriage door behind her, Millie scooted toward the window. "I'm not a little girl anymore," she muttered. "I don't know why I have to stay inside." Millie reached for the latch when she saw Lil, the bat, fly out of her carriage, and her daughter Zoe climb down as a human. When she saw her grandparents get out of their carriage and Francis and his parents get out of theirs, Millie couldn't wait any longer. A deep rumbling sound was making the trees vibrate when she opened the door and slipped out. The sound rose and fell as Millie crept around the back, hoping to see what was happening without being seen herself. The ground was wet and muddy, so she had to pick her way carefully and didn't see Francis until she bumped into him. "What are you doing?" he asked.
"Shh," hissed Millie. "My mother told me to stay in the carriage." "It's giants," whispered Zoe as she joined them. "There's a whole crowd. They're standing around talking to your parents, Millie. Come here and I'll show you."
Zoe led the way to the edge of a ditch tall enough for a man to stand in, without his head showing over the top. It was nearly 20 feet wide, and on the other side rested a stack of logs well over 60 feet long. Millie leaned over the ditch, trying to see past the closer trees to where two giants had crouched down to talk to her parents. There were four giants, all told, not the crowd that Zoe had mentioned, but even four giants was a lot. Millie thought it must be a family, with a mother, a father, and two boys who were almost as big as their parents. The adults were talking to Emma, while the boys stood behind them, each with a hand on his mother's shoulder. Huge tears trickled down her cheeks, which, Millie decided, explained the water that had hit the carriage. Although the rumble of a giant's voice could make the ground shake, the giants who were talking to her parents were courteous enough to whisper, yet even from a distance, Millie could hear most of what they were saying.
"We were felling trees so we could make a boat," whispered the father. "We want to explore the Eastern Sea. Our friends have already gone to start a new life on one of the islands." "My Penelope," the mother cried, wiping her eyes. The father shook his head. "She's just a little girl. She could be anywhere." "She's only 3, the mother whispered. "I was watching her, and I turned away for a minute to catch a tree that was about to hit my boys. And then, when I looked for my little Penelope, she was gone." The giantess sobbed and dabbed at her eyes with a cloth that could have covered Millie's bed. Millie couldn't hear what Emma said, but she saw her pick up her far-seeing ball and move her lips. An image must have appeared in the ball, because the giants bent closer to peer into it and were smiling and laughing when they stood up.
"I know where that meadow is,"
boomed the father, forgetting to whisper. The trees around them whipped back and forth as if caught in a terrible storm. Twigs and leaves rained down on Emma and Edric, who clutched each other so they wouldn't blow away. Millie could feel the wind from where she stood, and she had to step away from the ditch so she wouldn't fall in. It was even worse when the giants turned and started to run through the forest. "At least they're going the other way," Millie shouted to Francis as the ground bucked and lurched beneath them. Trees crashed as the giants pushed them aside, and then there was silence. But it lasted for just a moment before the entire forest shook from the giants' laughter. "Your parents are coming back," Francis said, and Millie hurried to the carriage. She glanced toward the trench in time to see her mother move the logs with her magic while Lil watched from a nearby tree stump. Then Lil was on her way back, stopping long enough to talk to Zoe. They were already in their carriage when Millie's parents returned. What happened? Millie asked as her parents took their seats across from her. A family of giants was felling trees, said Emma. Their little girl wandered off while they were working, and they didn't know where she'd gone. I used my far-seeing ball to find the child. She was asleep in a meadow, said Edric. You should have seen their faces when your mother told them where she was. I'm glad you stayed inside where I told you to, said Emma, leaning across the space between the seats to give Millie a hug. I don't ever want to lose you the way that mother lost her baby. Mama, I'm not a baby anymore. Emma kissed her on the forehead and said, You'll always be my baby, Millie, even when you're 100 years old. The sun had almost set when the carriages slowed for the last time. Millie stuck her head out of the window as they approached the narrow causeway that led to the royal castle of Upper Monte Vista. She had been there only a few times in her life, and then only for very short visits. All she remembered about the castle was that it was cold, dark, and uninviting. When she finally spied it through the carriage window, she remembered another reason she hadn't liked the castle. It was ugly. Unlike the light and airy castle in Greater Greensward, with its slender towers and many windows, this castle's thick, nearly windowless outer walls and 4 massive towers made it look squat and heavy, like a fat toad sleeping on a rock. Zoe's brothers were the first ones out of their carriage. Unlike their father, who couldn't come out of the curtained carriage in the daylight, sunlight didn't bother the children. Millie wondered if the 3 boys had traveled as bats or as vampires, but either way, they shot out of the carriage as humans, and with so much pent-up energy that it carried them whooping and yelling around the courtyard. Zoe chased them, calling to her brothers to come back, but they ignored her and didn't stop running until a young man with curly brown hair like Edric's stepped forward and scooped up the 2 smaller boys in his arms. "Who is that?" Millie asked her father as he helped her down their carriage steps. "That's your Uncle Bradston," Edric said, reaching for Emma's hand. "It looks as if everyone has come to welcome us." Millie knew who Bradston was, of course, although she had been a small child the last time she visited Upper Monte Vista, and he had been a teenager who hadn't paid her much attention. What she remembered most about him came from her favorite bedtime story, the retelling of how her parents had rescued him from his troll kidnappers. Her mother always finished the story with the spell she'd cast to make Bradston stay close to his mother until he nearly drove Queen Frizella crazy. Servants were lighting torches in the darkening courtyard when Millie and her parents joined the people waiting by the door. As the sun went down behind a distant mountain, Garrod emerged from his carriage, although there was no sign of either Lil or baby Suzette. Edric had already begun the introductions when Francis ran up to join Millie, leaving his parents to follow.
"That was great," Francis whispered into Millie's ear. "I wish every carriage ride was like that. I'm going to have to learn that spell so I can use it too."
Millie turned her head to whisper back,
"But I thought you wouldn't use your magic unless it helped you as a knight."
Francis opened his mouth to reply, but Millie didn't hear what he had to say, because just then someone squeezed her cheeks between 2 fingers and turned her head to face forward. An older woman with frizzy brown hair streaked with gray was smiling down at her, saying,
"This must be our Millie. My, but you've grown since I saw you last. Of course, if your parents brought you around more often, you wouldn't be such a stranger. Look at her, Bodiman. Doesn't she look like Edric when he was her age?"
King Bodiman didn't answer his wife because he was talking about hunting with Millie's other grandfather, King Limelin. Queen Chartreuse was there beside Frizella, however, listening to every word.
"Actually, I think I look more like my other grandmother, Queen Chartreuse," Millie replied between lips puckered like a fish's.
"She does have my hair color," murmured Chartreuse.
"Perhaps," said Queen Frizella, releasing Millie's face.
Millie rubbed her cheeks as her 2 grandmothers led the way into the castle. Francis had disappeared, and she was about to go looking for him when her father said, "Millie, I'm sure you remember your Uncle Bradston." Her father had his arm around the shoulders of the young man she'd already seen. A pretty young woman stood on Bradston's other side, and beside her was a boy not much older than Millie.
"It's nice to see you again, Millie," said Bradston. "This is my fiancée, Lady Maybelle, and her brother, Lord Eduardo.
Well, Millie,
said Maybelle in a surprisingly high-pitched voice. Millie thought her pale blonde hair and light blue eyes made her look almost ghostly in the torchlight.
You never told me that she was pretty,
Maybelle said to Bradston. Turning to the boy on her other side, she added,
She might be just what you're looking for, Eduardo.
Taking a step forward, Eduardo bowed to Millie and took her hand in his.
I've heard wonderful things about your kingdom and your mother, the Green Witch, he said. Do you have magic as well?
Millie nodded and swallowed hard. Unlike his sister, Eduardo had dark hair and piercing brown eyes, but he was as handsome as Maybelle was pretty. The look he was giving Millie was so intense that she could feel her face grow hot. Maybe we should go in now, said Frances, bumping into her arm.
Uh-huh,
said Millie, but her eyes didn't leave those of Eduardo, who still held her hand in his.
Did you see where my parents went?
Asked Zoe. She was holding her youngest brother, Ivan, who had fallen asleep with his head on her shoulder. Frances tugged on Millie's arm. Come on, we have to go help Zoe.
Why do you let your servants talk to you like that? Eduardo asked Millie.
What?
Said Millie, confused until she saw where he was looking.
They aren't my servants. This is my friend, Princess Zoe, and my cousin, Lord Francis.
My mistake, Eduardo said. Their clothes.
Zoe glanced down at the simple shift she was wearing, then looked up at Eduardo, her eyes flashing.
We've been traveling.
If you'll excuse us, Francis said through stiff lips. We have to go. Eduardo squeezed Millie's hand before releasing it, murmuring,
Until later.
Right, later,
Millie told Eduardo over her shoulder as Francis dragged her away. As they entered the castle, Zoe said,
I don't like that boy.
Francis frowned, Neither do I.
I think he's all right,
said Millie, glancing over her shoulder one last time.